Thank you for listening to the New Hope Christian Church podcast for the weekend of December 24, 2023. Please go to our website, newhopechristianchurch.net, for resources, events, and information about the church. This week's sermon is titled, Joy to the World, by lead pastor Kerry Yeck.
If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Luke chapter 2. Tom read this earlier, but a Sunday school teacher had just finished teaching her elementary class the Christmas story, how Joseph and Mary went to Bethlehem, Jesus was born in the stable, and how they had laid him in the manger, and you know the story. And then the teacher asked the class, who do you think is the most important woman in the Bible? Now naturally, having just shared the story, she probably assumed that they would all say Mary, but instead one boy raised his hand and said Eve. Now, a strong case can be made for Eve being the most important woman in the Bible, but the teacher politely asked the student why he thought that Eve was the most important woman in the Bible, and the young boy replied, well, she has to be important. They named 2 days of the year after her, Christmas Eve and New Year's Eve. And we're glad that you are spending Eve's first holiday with us today, and we invite you to spend Eve's second holiday with us next Sunday as well. There are many reasons people give for celebrating Christmas. For retailers, Christmas is the make it or break it time of the year. I mean, for some, they're counting on 50% of their entire year's sales occurring in that 1 month. For families, Christmas is an incentive to make an extra effort to be together for that time of year. For students and teachers, Christmas is an extended break where there are no classes, no school that's going on, no homework, etc. But for believers, Christmas is the celebration of God's entrance into our human existence through the birth of Jesus Christ. Because God came to us in order to die for us, Christmas is proof of God's love of us. Regardless of why everyone else celebrates Christmas, Christians know it is Jesus' birth that makes this the most wonderful time of the year. And that's been the theme of our messages through the month of December. And so we close out this sermon series today with a message that is simply entitled, Joy to the World. And Tom read our text for us earlier, but if you have your Bibles, whether it's on your Bible app or in your Bibles there, I want to focus in on verse 11, where we see, first of all, a Savior is prophesied. I mean, Adam and Eve had no sooner sinned in the Garden of Eden, God already had a plan in place. And to the serpent who had just deceived Eve, God said, those who follow you will always be at odds with the descendants of this woman. But from her descendants will come one who will fatally crush your head while you only bruise his heel. God confirmed that promise centuries later when he spoke through the prophet Micah these words, though you are small among the clans of Judah, O Bethlehem Ephrathah, out of you will come one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times. Because God the Son has always been alive, always. God the Father says that Jesus' origins are from of old, from ancient times. 700 years before it actually occurred, God the Father promised that the eternal, immortal God the Son would enter into our human existence as a human being in Bethlehem. 700 years. 7 centuries later, an angel appears to some lowly shepherds on the hills near Bethlehem and says, Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born. Think about that. Today, God has fulfilled his promise. Fast forward to 2023. Bethlehem is today an Arab city under the Palestinian control, and when there isn't a war going on in that region, tourism is the major industry in Bethlehem. But for many centuries before Jesus' birth, and many centuries after Jesus' birth, Bethlehem was a tiny Jewish community. It was primarily known as the birthplace of the great King David, and it was the primary area where lambs were raised that would ultimately be sacrificed at the temple in Jerusalem. So it's no coincidence then that the Lamb of God, the Lamb of God, who would take away the sins of the world, was born near where these temple lambs had been born and raised. The Jewish people were aware of God's promise in Micah chapter 5 and verse 2. They knew the Messiah was to be born in Bethlehem. And yet, get this, there's no excitement. There's no anticipation. There hasn't been any preparations made for the fulfillment of God's promise. How can that be? Is it possible that after so many centuries passing by without the Messiah being born, that the Jewish people had kind of just become apathetic to such an event? Well, it hasn't happened. It's not going to happen in our lifetime. So, when the wise men came several months later, looking for the newborn king of the Jews, King Herod gathers his very best biblical scholars, and they confirm for Herod that yes, the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem, just 6 or 7 miles south here of Jerusalem. In other words, this occurrence wasn't any secret, and yet nobody seemed to care. I mean, to make matters worse, the Magi went to find out for themselves. But it doesn't appear as though anybody else was curious enough to do the same. Is it possible, some 20 centuries later, that we have heard this Christmas story so many times, year after year after year, that we too have become as oblivious to it as the Jewish people did 2,000 years ago? I mean, don't get me wrong. We know when it's that time of year to send Christmas cards and purchase gifts and put up decorations and attend the various church and school programs and watch our favorite Christmas movies and attend office parties, etc. We get that. We celebrate that. But where is our awe and fascination at why we celebrate Christmas in the first place? In the midst of our busyness and the preoccupation of observing Christmas, have we missed the awesome, amazing, astonishing truth that God has come to earth as one of us? For centuries, God had promised that he would visit our planet Earth in human form, and now, the angel says, a Savior is born. Prophecy had become reality. God's promise was fulfilled. A Savior is born. Now, as cool as was the reality of Jesus' birth to the shepherds that night, and really to all human beings, past and present, the actual birth of Jesus Christ was really not out of the ordinary. I mean, I'll grant you, the circumstances and the surroundings of Jesus' birth were very unusual. But Mary delivered Jesus just like every woman has delivered babies before, and every woman has delivered babies since. There were contractions. There was deep breathing. There was concentrated pushes. And there was pain. And while every human birth is an amazing, almost indescribable event, the real miracle took place 9 months earlier. When the Holy Spirit of God overshadowed Mary and somehow impregnated a virgin girl, that was the miracle that had never happened before and has never been repeated since. The verb for overshadow, describing what the Holy Spirit did, speaks of God's personal, his direct intervention. So the manner in which Jesus was born was fully human. Jesus was the Son of Man. But the manner in which Jesus was conceived, now that was totally supernatural. Jesus is the Son of God. So the baby in the manger at Bethlehem was fully human and fully God at the same time. He was the Son of Man and he was the Son of God. Deity and humanity joined forces for God to become one of us. No one has ever been able to explain it. No one will ever be able to duplicate it. This is not Lord of the Rings, Chronicles of Narnia, and Harry Potter fiction, as wonderful as all of them are. The virgin birth is not a legend. It's not myth. It's not fairy tale or fiction. It is truth. The virgin birth is fact. And the angel told the shepherds, go check it out for yourselves. So the Christmas story is a reminder that a Savior was prophesied. The Christmas story is the fact that the Savior is born, but what was the Savior's purpose? Several months earlier, when Joseph had learned that Mary was pregnant and he knew he wasn't the father, he had determined to quietly divorce her. And the angel Gabriel appeared to Joseph and said, Joseph, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save and deliver his people from their sins. And now the angel says to the shepherds, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ, the Lord. I'm not a Greek scholar. I had Greek at 7 a.m. in the morning. It's kind of hard to be awake and learn much at 7 a.m. in the morning, you know? But those who are say that when Luke wrote this account, he didn't use any articles to describe who Jesus is. So in fact, the text actually reads in verse 11, Savior, Christ, Lord. Savior is an Old Testament word that means one who delivers his people. Christ is the Greek version of the Hebrew word Messiah, which means the anointed one, and Lord is a term for deity. It's the same word as God. So what the angel told the shepherds is that the baby who is born in Bethlehem is in fact the anointed God who has come to deliver his people from their sins. That's great news. Dr. Raymond Pritchard once received a letter from a prisoner in Wisconsin who had read Pritchard's book entitled An Anchor for the Soul. This man was the oldest of five children from a single-parent family. Seeking self-esteem and acceptance, he had joined a gang as a young man. When he dropped out of high school in the ninth grade, he could not read or write. At the age of 17, this young man had gotten into some serious trouble, was arrested, tried, and convicted of first-degree murder. After 19 years in prison, investigators found DNA and other fingerprint evidence that proved his innocence, and he was released. Now, most of us might have been bitter about such an experience, but not this man. He wrote, and I quote, "Many had given up on me, but God never did. I was told I would never amount to anything, but God told me otherwise. I was told that I would die in prison, I would find death in prison, but I found eternal life. I am absolutely convinced that had I not gone to prison, my life would have been completely devastated beyond repair. I am so overwhelmed by the grace and the mercy of Christ. I've been given a wonderful peace that surpasses all understanding." What did the angel tell the shepherds? "I bring you great joy." Great joy to all people. And what was the great news that would bring joy to all people? What was that? The Savior is born. The Savior has arrived this day. Joy to the world. Sang that song earlier. The words were written in 1719, and as Frank said, the music was arranged in 1848 by a music composer. And yes, I was in junior high, and he was in college. Since the 20th century, Joy to the World has been the most published Christian hymn in all of North America. But did you know Isaac Watts did not originally write Joy to the World to be a Christmas carol? In fact, the lyrics say nothing about the virgin birth. Watts wrote this song to celebrate the second coming of Jesus Christ. Is it an appropriate Christmas carol? Absolutely. Because if you look at the words, "Joy to the world" applies to both Christ's first coming and Christ's second coming. But here's something worth thinking about. If we aren't prepared, if we haven't studied the scriptures, if we aren't in awe of this whole story, if we forget or neglect what God has so strategically outlined for us in Scripture, we could miss this grand and glorious event of His second coming when it occurs, as surely as the Jewish people missed His first coming some 20 centuries ago. So I say to you, Jesus was born to die, delivering his followers from sin required sacrificing his life for us. And each week we partake of the bread and the juice that symbolize Christ's body and blood. We do so by looking backwards to the birth and the death of Jesus Christ. At the same time, we look forward to what we believe to be his soon return to take his people home. So if you'll take out those elements, the bread which symbolizes Christ's body, and the juice which symbolizes his blood, may we be reminded of the words, "Joy to the world. The Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart, my heart and your heart, prepare him room, and heaven and nature will sing." Let's partake of the bread and the juice, looking back to the birth and the death of Jesus and looking forward to Jesus' return. Thank you. pray.
Joy to the world, the Lord has come. At this time, if you could go ahead and give your glow sticks a couple cracks and give it a shake there. Just a few moments, we're going to be singing that Christmas carol, Silent Night. And let's be thankful for it, that Jesus came to be a light into our darkened world. Let's sing that together.
Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright, round yon virgin mother and child.
Jesus, thank you for being a light into our darkened world. We pray for our world. Lord, we pray for peace. We pray, Maranatha, Lord Jesus, come. But until, Lord, you call us or you come back, thank you that you will be a light in our world and that we now can go and be the church and be a light into our community because it's in us through your Holy Spirit. So thank you for the gift of Christmas. In Jesus' name we all say, amen. I want to say, if you are in need of prayer, if this isn't the best Clark Griswold Christmas, shall we say, and you're going through some just hard things, being serious here, we have some people over here by the prayer wall and against this wall. We want to pray for you that you don't go away lonely and feeling helpless, but there's hope in Jesus Christ. And we would love to pray for you right after the service just gone over. If you have a prayer, it's a personal prayer, we have a prayer wall. You could go ahead and put it into the prayer wall there. So we're here for you. We want to come alongside of you as we walk together this Christmas. And one last thing, we now go and spread peace and love to the world. We can start with that in the parking lot because we all have to make that left-hand turn. But be sure when you make that left-hand turn, just be extra cautious. Take your time because it is a highway and there's a lot of people there. And we want you to have a safe and Merry Christmas. And God bless you all. You're dismissed. Thank you. Merry Christmas.